Good evening. What a joy to see you. I thank God for this opportunity. Don't take it for granted. A special day, a special time. As what my brother has said, the Lord introduced me here. And that's why God's ways are not our ways. I was introduced to this church, I think, 1992. I remember Mark Friend, who is the son-in-law to the former pastor, Seafield. Yes. He was my roommate in Kansas City at Calvary Bible College. I had just come from Uganda. I did not know anything about American culture. Completely nothing. And then by God's providence, he was my roommate. And I found him was a good boy. We got along together. I taught him Swahili. Even now I still write him in Swahili and he responds. Then we talk a little bit. Because by then his parents were missionaries to the Navajo Indians here. That's the first time I came here. Then the second time is when he wedded in this church and I was his best man. Can you imagine? Was his best man. So from there, this church came to be part of our fellowship and prayer partners. So it's a joy to see you. So when I wrote to Pastor David, I said, he's not around, but I'm welcome. Then I said, okay, if I'm welcome, well, definitely I will come. So as we get started, how many hours do I have? It can be African time, you know. Yes. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. I thank you for this special opportunity that you have enabled me to come back to this church. The church where I had small beginnings to get acquainted with them. And even through Mark Friend, who introduced me to these brethren, and it's good to see some of them were still walking in your footsteps and serving you. Thank you for their prayers. Thank you for their love. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all pressing on towards that upward calling that you are waiting for, Lord. And I pray that you are not me in a special way, that as I share what is in my heart, at this fire of your goodness and of your love, I pray that all will go well. And at the end, we shall say, pray the Lord for great and many things you are doing in the mission field. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll start introducing myself. Rabben Musime. I come from Uganda, Africa. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1976 during the military regime. Some of you may not know what Uganda went through. We went through a military regime which was worse than Hitler's regime. And that was during the President Idi Amin, if you heard of Idi Amin. Persecuted the church, closed the churches, and you had to be a Muslim because he was a Muslim. Churches, as we are here, the army men will come in and storm and beat everybody and take the money. And eventually he killed the Archbishop of the Church of Uganda. And I was in college somebody came and preached to us and said, you know what? The church does not belong to the Archbishop of Uganda. The church is God's church. And according to Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wow, that touched it. God's church. I got saved. From there, I wanted to know more who God is, to know more about the Bible, but the opportunities were limited. I graduated from college. I went teaching in 76, 77, 78, 79, a civil war. The Ugandan exiles who started fighting Idi Amin, and they had rebels from Tanzania. They came and overran Amin's government, and he took off. And after that, everything collapsed. And as it collapsed, God was calling me, saying, Reuben, are you going to remain like this? I say, Lord, I'm at your service. So in the month of May 1980, I left all the fishing nets I had in Uganda, and I said, let me follow God's calling. I was looking at it this May. Now I'm 43 years in the Lord's service. I left Uganda. I went to Kenya for Bible training. And in Kenya, I met missionaries that work with Africa Inland Church. Africa Inland Mission, AIM. And those missionaries were to the core. They taught me how to pray and to know more about God. From there, I committed myself that I am not going to do anything else. I will serve God. Finished in Kenya. Uganda was still in chaos. I ended up pastoring a church in Kenya and even learned Swahili and became almost a Kenyan. So from 83, 84, 85, and part of 86, I was a pastor in Kenya and also teaching high school. The Lord said, hey, Reuben, I'm not finished with you yet. He called me to come and study God's word here in the U.S. That's when I came to connect with Mark Friend. Then as we connected, Mark Friend, we were all single guys, but we enjoyed each other in the dorm. It was fun. He taught me how to eat ice cream. I never ate ice cream. Can you imagine? and some other things. So from there, I said, I'm going to serve God. And by then, me and Mark were single guys. Can you imagine? Dreaming which women will ever accept us. Sure. They leave the socks there. But thank God, before I left Uganda, I had a girlfriend. And when I wrote to her father, I said, yes. So in 1989, I went back to Uganda, got married to my wife, and we came together in the U.S. And from there, from Calvary, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas. And then in Texas, I lost my African accent and picked up the Texan accent. Then I can say, hi, y'all. I love the Texas. I enjoyed my time in Dallas. Then from the seminary, God opened a window to go to the University of North Texas in Denton for the graduate program. I went there for the doctor program, and when I finished it, I said, I had an opportunity already to be associate professor in one of the colleges here, but I had promised a missionary who had prayed with me, and I was his Timothy, and he was retiring in Texas. I had promised that when I'm done, I'm going to replace him in Africa. And that kept knocking in my heart. When I finished, told my wife, let us obey God's call. And we packed. We had opportunities to stay in the U.S. But what I promised my dear brother missionary that time who discipled me, that when I'm done, I'll go back to Uganda and serve God's people there. There were so many temptations. Hey, Reuben, you can do this. But sometimes I'll go back. This really? This what? In 1995, we packed our belongings. With our kids, we have already made 3 kids in Texas. We went back to Uganda under AMG International. And AMG is Advancing Ministries of the Gospel. So in 1995, we went back. 1996, as we went to 95, I was doing some research to see what God will have us do. And in the 90s, Uganda population had suffered with AIDS epidemic. It was the first country in the world to come out and declare that its population is suffering with AIDS. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So as I was doing the research, I went to the villages and found children who were not going to school. Can you imagine? It's a day for school, but kids are languishing the village, stealing people's bananas, stealing fruits, and they ask you, why not in school? My father died. My mother died of AIDS. Nobody takes care of. We can't go to school. Nobody can pay. Then with my education background, I looked at the children. Now, imagine a child who is not educated in today's world. No education. Then from there, God led me to start sponsorship program to sponsor children from who are orphans from poor families, to put them back in school and study. And we teach them God's word. And that's what we started with in 1996. We started with 11 children. And it was me and my wife, 1996. But as of last year, as of now, we celebrate 27 years. We have more than 1,000 children being sponsored. But the total population from 1996, we have sponsored more than 2,500 children. And some of them, interestingly, they finished university, they are part of my staff. I'm the country director of AMG International in Uganda. And it was me and my wife in 1996. But now I have a full-time staff of more than 140 who work under AMG, and we pray, we guide, and we teach God's word. It's like how in Matthew, when Jesus called himself, go in the world, baptize, and teach God's word. I love teaching God's word. So from that, now we have seven child sponsorship centers scattered all over the country. And the sponsors are from, most of them are from the U.S. individually, and you connect with the international office in Tennessee, Chattanooga. You get the bio data for the child, and the child will be writes to you, and you become your friend. Even some who come for short-term missions, they have opportunity to go and see the children they sponsor. And some, when they go there and see where the children come from, you could see the tears. They could not believe that in such an environment, a child can come out. And what gives me joy, you find even at the, when the child finishes like college, the family starts coming up. At graduation, you can see tears of joy, where a family member say, "Thank God for AMG sponsoring our child, and for the first time in the life of our clan and family, at least we have had a graduate." Can you imagine such a testimony? That even some may say, "We never dreamt." And even others testify, "We have started a new dispensation, educated family, a spiritual family, where some of these children, they take the gospel to their homes, and parents have come to know Jesus Christ because our staff, they go for home visitation to encourage these children and pray for them. And even some of the AMG-sponsored children have grown up the system, finished college, they are working, now they are married, and some have planted churches, some are Christian elders, raising up godly families. And that gives me the greatest joy. To see a child who never had any hope, but now he finished, he gets married, he's an elder in the church, he's a counselor. You say, wow, what a joy. So from child sponsorship, we expanded to, when we started sponsoring the children, the number increased, and AIDS was fighting against us. The Lord laid it to my heart, said, "Where will this child attend health care? Our government doesn't care whether you are about sick people. Go and die. We have public hospitals, but you go there, there's no medicine, no nothing. The government gives medicine, the doctors sell it illegally." So, surprisingly, American ambassador to Uganda was from Texas. And when I went and knocked on his door, and we started talking Texan, he said, "Wow, you came back?" He said, "You must be a special man." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Most Ugandans, they go to the U.S., they don't come back. What made you come back?" I told him, "I came back because of my people. One, to encourage and teach them God's word. Two, to help my country to develop." He was excited. After 2 months, I got a phone call from his office and said, "Hey, the ambassador wants to meet you." He said, "What? You come?" I went there. And reaching there, he said, "What can we help you since you came back? This is great. I want to help you grow your country. What can I do for you?" And I told him, "The major problem, we have started sponsoring children, but they have nowhere to attend the health care." He gave us $10,000, and we constructed a dispensary. And that dispensary is to help our children who are sick with AIDS, give them medicine. And one time, a grandmother. She comes in the office coughing. And what? Say, Ruben, I ask her, what's the problem? She said, thank you for supporting my grandchild. But now, if I don't have a medical care to help me, I will die and this child will be nowhere. And I said, yeah, okay. So from that time, I opened the dispensary to the community, and the community pays some money to sustain the dispensary. And we have two already in the country to help them with good quality healthcare systems. Then from there, God led me to also, as I said, a lot of kids were HIV positive in our program, and I wanted to have an orphanage for them that we can teach God's word, educate them, and so on. And then what happened, I did some research, and I found that when you have an orphanage, you produce a subculture in a child. Where does the subculture come from? You pick this child from his or her home, you bring her here for 10, 15 years, where does the child belong? Time will come. So as I did the research, I found that the best way is bring them here, but during holidays, let them go back to their families and enjoy their relatives and friends, and it worked. And that's when we connected with Hoffman Town Church, with the late Pastor Wayne Barber, and we constructed a Christian school, elementary school, from nursery kindergarten to grade 7. And right now we have more than 600 kids on campus. And now the school is open to the community. And why it's open to the community, we never wanted to say this is an orphanage for HIV kids, but that will create a stigma. So we opened it to the community, but now inside those, we have our kids who are HIV positive, and we tell the nurse, they can go and take drugs at the nurse's office and nobody will ever know. And interesting, when you look at those kids, they are healthy and strong and nobody can tell that they are HIV positive because they are mainstreamed with other kids. The school is a community school, the Christian school for AMG. But inside it, we have those special needs. And it has worked real well for us. Then another ministry that the Lord has put on, I discovered that most of our pastors are not trained. How do you like to have a pastor who is theologically and biblically bankrupt? How do you like, especially in our current age, in the current dispensation, where you have a pastor who is theologically and biblically illiterate? So sickening. So I started pastoral training every year. We have 1 week of training pastors. And I did some research. We started with every time we have a Bible doctrine. What is sin? What is a church? What is salvation? What is Bible? And all those, like last May, we are dealing with the doctrine of the Bible, Bibliology. Can you imagine having a pastor who doesn't know that even the Bible has 66 books? Can you imagine? Even a pastor who doesn't know who wrote the book of Acts. And we always have pastor training. We invite our facilitators from the U.S. Hoffman Town Church has been sending some. And I'm extending the invitation to you, tell your pastor. We do it in the month of May. And it's really a great ministry. We had like 100 pastors for 1 week, teaching them God's truth. Ask questions. Where did the Bible come from? And so on. So that's also another big ministry. And then I also started the radio ministry. In the year 2000, there was a cult leader. A cult leader, like the one I saw in Texas. Do you remember David Koresh? How many remember what he did in Texas? We had one in Uganda in the year 2000. He put people in a church like this, and he told them to go and sell their property, indoctrinated them. They went and sold their property without telling anybody where he put the money. Nobody knew. So on that fateful day, they put them in the church and said, you know what? The world is ending. And when God comes, the trumpet is going to sound. When it sounds, other people are going to join us. When they join us, we shall lose. They got timber and 6-inch nails and nails all the doors and windows. After that, got gasoline. More than 1,000 people died. And God laid it on my heart. How comes people were looking for the truth, but they landed in a wrong place? From there, I started a radio ministry every Sunday. So this radio ministry has been on air from the year 2000 up to now, 22. And that radio ministry, I have 30 minutes every Sunday, teach nothing but God's word. In a vernacular that everybody can hear it, because most people don't have TVs or computers or what. They have the radios, and those radios, I reach almost 12 million people every week, teaching them God's word. And I get feedback. Oh, wow. You cannot believe it. There's one man who was going to commit suicide because he had a disagreement with two sons. They wanted to sell a piece of land. And the children were planning to kill him. But when he went on the radio, those two sons called my number, and my secretary said, "You come and see him." When they came, they confessed and said, "Sorry." Then we invited the father. Oh, you could see them hugging. Oh, it's a wow. Quite great stories. And that radio program, it's what we call custom made, no commercial. 30 minutes, no commercial. And the reason I don't want the commercial, I don't want to be teaching on abstinence, and then the commercial comes with condoms. You lose out. I don't want to be teaching about self-control and sobriety. A commercial comes with beer. Hey, six-pack, wow. The message is gone. So I have 30 minutes. I pay heavily for it. But it's worth it. The feedback I get from people, it's wonderful. Even there's one time a woman, she had produced a baby, and the husband had left her, and she was going to throw the baby in the dustbin. And I was teaching on how God created us. And he knows us even before we are born. like Jeremiah, when he said, before you were born, Jeremiah, I knew you. So I was thinking that, hey, it's not that you see this baby, even before this baby is born, God knows this baby. Can you take care of this baby? Because it's God's gift to you, no matter what you are facing. The woman called the next day. I said, thank you. I was going to throw this baby in the dustbin. So those are some of the stories that encourage us greatly. Then another project, the latest one, is the nursing college. Healthcare system in Uganda is crazy. Uganda's population is about 45 million people. How many are you in New Mexico? Yeah? Uganda is 45 million people. And those 45, 80%, they live in villages. And in those villages, the healthcare system is deplorable. So God led it to my heart that you start a nursing college to train nurses and midwives who can care for the rural communities for good quality health care. And it's doing real well. And some many others, as we're going to see. So to do the summary, let me show you something here.
AMG Uganda is a mission organization whose mandate is to win and disciple souls for God's kingdom. Since 1996, the organization has grown from 1 to 8 child development centers across the country, from nothing to 2 medical dispensaries, 1 nursing college, and a grade school called Upendo Christian School.
AMG Uganda stands for Advancing Ministries of the Gospel, and this is a Christian-based organization whose vision and mission is to reach out to the souls and win them for God's kingdom. After living in some years in Dallas, Texas, as we finished our studies, we felt God is calling us back home to Uganda.
He called us and he called Abraham and he said, get up, I will show you the land I have for you. And ever since we came back, we have never regretted. We have seen God working wonders and miracles all for his glory.
Child sponsorship, discipleship, and family empowerment are core to the operations of AMG Uganda. To date, over 630 children have graduated in different disciplines, with over 2,500 children impacted.
Many years back, the Lord put it in my heart to begin Dorcas Ministry. Little did I know that so many girls will go through the program of Dorcas Ministry, will finish or graduate, will have their families, will even also join Dorcas Ministry and also go out and mentor other girls.
Church empowerment and planting are pivotal in the operations of AMG Uganda, with 2 churches where teaching and equipping are greatly emphasized, planted by AMG alumni. Is a radio ministry which also supplements church empowerment. AMG collaborates with mission teams in pastoral training, youth camps, and medical outreaches. At Upendo Primary School, academics and learning are greatly balanced with the teaching of the word to help the children know God's word and develop good morals.
I like this school because you have friendly teachers. We are always nurtured spiritually.
Most schools in Uganda, they don't have God. But here, God is in the center of everything to train the hands, the head, and the heart.
Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery was established at the very place where AMG started in Bugonji Western Uganda in 1996. The nursing college stands in the gap to train nurses and midwives to offer quality healthcare services, especially in rural communities.
At the end of the day, the nurse and midwife you send out there is actually called a medical missionary.
AMG continues to equip Christians with God's word for a perfect presentation.
And we lift his, the Lord's banner very high for the success stories that God has done in the people and the church in Uganda.
Okay, that's one. Then you want another quick shot? All right, let me show you this one.
From Shema District Headquarters in Western Uganda is a town council called Bugonji. It is here that one finds Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery. The college was established in 2017 by AMG International Uganda with the goal of training nurses and midwives to channel out competent professionals with God-fearing values and Christian principles.
Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery is a healthy training institution that trains nurses and midwives in a certificate in nursing and a certificate in midwifery.
The facility is fully registered with the Ministry of Education and Sports. Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery is the only college of its kind in the whole of Shema District. This college addresses a steep lack of health professionals and health care that has seen many mothers dying in the past.
When we talk of equipping for perfect presentation, training a person in a holistic manner, you train the head, you train the heart, and you train the hands. At the end of the day, the nurse and midwife you send out there is actually called a medical missionary.
For most locals in this area, searching for health training facilities and nursing institutions was too costly and was only a dream never to be achieved. This college is an answer to this conundrum to many here.
This school has really changed many people around. It has employed people around. For example, majority of people, non-teaching staff, they are employed from this locality, inclusive security, cooks and cleaners, they are coming from here.
The college sits on a 3-acre piece of land which currently has the capacity of fully hosting up to 350 students. At the moment, there are 233 students studying here. The students are admitted after completion of ordinary level certificate in Uganda, a level accredited by the Ministry of Education and Sports.
Academically, we are performing better because if we get a report, we find that first those people passed with credits. I mean, they have distinctions. They are in the field. And report, even community tells us that our students are better compared to other students.
Highly qualified, accredited and licensed health tutors conduct the trainings at the college. This ensures that students acquire the highest standards of training and health competences.
We have made a good milestone because ever since we started as an institution, we've been able to maintain consistent progress in academic performance, especially ensuring that our students have the best outcomes after they have sat their national examinations. Our first set was able to make it 100% pass in the first semesters and the following semesters, the consecutive semesters.
Currently, there are 5 sets of students that are pursuing certificate courses that last a duration of 2.5 years.
By the time we started, we were only able to receive 14 students. But as we speak now, we have around 233 students that have enrolled in this institution. And our first intake, that is set 1 and set 2, are expected to graduate on 26th of August 2022.
The dream is to train health missionaries that are both equipped with relevant cutting-edge medical knowledge and discipleship based on sound Christian principles.
We have different things we are doing in discipleship and different methods and approaches we use. We have one-to-one, where I have to go to get somebody and we talk about the Word of God on one-to-one basis. Every Thursday we have students' fellowship. Every Wednesday we have staff fellowship. And we have Bible study on a daily basis.
Over the years, Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery has passed out over 56 professionals who are employed around the district, supporting and offering the competent, much-needed health expertise.
I'm seeing a very big improvement in this school. And I think that more development and more improvement are still coming.
We are developing our spiritual life in a nursing course. We are developing our education, as in we are doing classwork, we are being taught.
The college has created employment, trained learners, raised standards of living by improving livelihoods, supported local interventions and businesses, offered much-needed health community education to locals in the town council, offered manpower, resource to surrounding medical institutions, and has created a beacon of medical excellence in the district.
When you look at the beauty of this area, it is an achievement for Shema District. Is an achievement for Bugonji as a town council, and I'm sure the people, the community around is proud, because not only the existence of the institution is there for the AMG, but for the entire community.
Bugonji College of Nursing and Midwifery, together with AMG International Uganda, dreams of upscaling their training package to diploma and eventually gaining university status. Their aim is to specialize in science and technology.
Okay, that's what God is doing in Uganda. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. All this, it's God doing it. It's not the government. It's God doing it through the faithful people and prayer supporters like you. Yes, I didn't talk about my family. God has given me 4 beautiful daughters. 3 of them were born in Dallas, Texas. So they support the cowgirls and cowboys. And they studied at John Brown University. One is working in New Jersey. Another one is working in Denver, Colorado. And another one, she studied in Spain for 2 years. She loves to speak Spanish. Even now she's good. She always teases me in Spanish. Hey, Daddy, say, bueno, Bredin. Why? What is that? So she wants to work with United Nations Humanitarian Studies, and she's applying, but she lives with her elder sister in Denver. Then the last born, She studied at Oklahoma State University in Still Waters. Then she graduated. She went to work in Pennsylvania at Brown Medical Equipment Manufacturing Company. And about 2 years ago, she called us and said, "Hey, Mama and Daddy," we said, "What? I have a surprise for you." She said, "What? Do you have a boyfriend?" "No, I don't, not boyfriend. I'm coming back home." So she packed all her things and she came back home 1.5 years ago. And God in his category has also provided her a good job in our city. And it's no longer an empty nest home. Now Becky, she is with us. And that's why my wife, when she came, said, "I want to be with my girls." Now my wife, she's in Denver. And God willing, I made a swing because I had to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee to consult our international offices, give reports, discussions, so all these projects and all that. So I had to spend 3 days there. And when I finished, I said I'll swing through New Mexico. Then on Tuesday, the day after tomorrow, I'll join my wife and be with the girls for about 10 days. So God is great. Amen? Amen? So how many of you are coming to Uganda next year? So opportunities are there. Hoffman Town Church is now arranging a medical team. They are coming in August. Nurses and doctors and all. So when they come, they go to the nursing college, they join with the students. And there's one time 2 years ago they came. There was a doctor. He had the, when he saw people lining up, we were forcing him to go and eat, because he would say, "How can I go to eat when people are standing in line for these hours?" So we had to say, "Hey, stop, lunchtime, stop, it's dinner." So another team is coming this August, and our program is with international partners. In January, we have a youth camp for 1 week at Upendo Christian School for university and high school students. 1 week teaching them God's Word. And we always have facilitators from the U.S. And we'll keep you posted so that if you feel like teaching the youth in January, you can come for 1 week. And last year we had 280 teenagers for 1 week. It's a great ministry. Then another one where we interact with the international partners, in May we have pastors' conference. And we also get facilitators from the U.S. We have a mission coordinator at our international offices in Tennessee who coordinates all those who want to come. And we give you the topic, we give you the guidelines, then you prepare, and then you come and teach the pastors. You train them. We train them in the biblical and theological knowledge. We teach them with ministerial skills. How to be an effective pastor in the current technological dispensation. How to become a successful pastor in enlightened society where people are educated. And I always tell them, pastors, we need to be professionals in our fields of ministry. Engineers, doctors, lawyers, they are special in their field. Why don't we also be specialists in our Bible and theology? Because at the end of the day, this engineer, this doctor, this lawyer, at the end of the day, they all need God. But how can we integrate and repackage the gospel so that this enlightened technological society can be challenged? Best pastoral training. Then in August, medical teams. Then in December, first week of December, I wanted to give back to my churches in Kenya. We started AMG in Kenya, and we also started pastoral training in Kenya in December. And I also get pastors from facilitators from here. They come for 1 week in Kenya, and we train the pastors. It's a great ministry in Uganda and Kenya, and we love you to be partners so that with God's work, we can all feel the joy and peace. Thank God we survived COVID. It was devastated people. And during COVID, when our schools closed for 2 years, schools and churches closed for 2 years. And the impact, some people have lost the interest for the church. They say, we didn't go to church for 2 years. Now, what's the deal? On Sundays, something that never happened, Sundays in our city of Kampala, it's business as usual. People have lost interest to go to church. And then during the COVID, instead of sitting at home doing nothing, God helped me. I wrote a book on fatherhood during turbulent times. Fathers have to go back to square one and take care of their families. And I always challenge the fathers, maybe even here. If you are a father here, when you have your wife here, she can ask, or we are going to ask your wife, does your husband live at home or he sleeps at home? Hey, ladies, can you answer that? Do your husband sleep at home or they live at home? A husband who lives at home, that's God's design for the family. If you want to see it biblically, go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. When Adam and Eve, they all sinned and went into hiding. When God came around, he asked, Adam, where are you? He did not ask you in plural. No, Adam, where are you? So even in today's chaotic family breakdowns, God is asking the men, Reuben, where are you? George, where are you? Carl, where are you? David, where are you? Because God is designed, it's for men to be responsible for the families. And I wrote this book, and I teach it men's breakfast through churches. Recently, I had a men's breakfast where I had like 80 men, and I really gave them a big dose on how to go back and reclaim their positions and responsibility at home. Great ministry. And lastly, then I saw this one, you have it on your desk. This one summarizes the 26 years of AMG ministry in Uganda. Wow, I can talk and talk and talk. Now, any question as I finish? Otherwise, thank you very much for allowing me to come. The pastor said you don't come on Sunday evenings, but thank you for coming to hear what God is doing in Uganda. Amen. Any question before we pray and close? Yes, right there.